VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Oh, it's good to have you with us here today on Crosstalk. We're going to be having a news roundup day today. Our thanks to Sandy for pulling together so many stories from across this nation in particular to keep you abreast of some of the things that are going on in our world. And certainly as we have our news roundups, I trust it not only informs you, but it burdens your heart to keep this nation in your prayers. Be praying for the election. Be praying for those that are in leadership here across this land. Scripture tells us to do that, and it's important to be understanding of the times, to reprove the works of darkness, to expose them, and certainly know how we ought to live in such a time as this. So thank you to Sandy for that. We've got Karen here on the phones and Justin as well in the control room, making sure everything going okay for us today. We appreciate every single one of our team here at VCY and Bob taking notes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let's get to the New York Post here as we begin today. A top Democratic operative says voter fraud, especially with mail-in ballots, is no myth. And he knows this because he's been doing it on a grand scale for decades. An election that is swayed by 500 votes, 1,000 votes, it can make a difference, the tipster said. It could be enough to flip states. The whistleblower says he not only changed ballots himself for the years, but led teams of fraudsters and also mentored at least 20 operatives in New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania, a critical 2020 swing state. There is no race in New Jersey from city council to the U.S. Senate that we haven't worked on, the tipster said. I worked on a fire commissioner's race in Burlington County. The smaller the race, the easier it is to do. A Bernie Sanders diehard with no horse in the presidential race, he said he felt compelled to come forward in the hope that states would act now to fix the glaring security problems that are presented in mail-in ballots. This is a real thing, he said, and there's going to be a war coming November 3rd over this stuff. If they knew how the sausage was made, they would fix it. Townhall.com also reporting the fraudster said in some elections he made phony ballots because there were no watermarks or stamps used for security. He said, I just put the ballot to the copy machine and it comes out the same way, he explained. The envelopes were for security feature and there was no way to duplicate them. His team would go to voters and offer to return their ballots. When voters would agree, the team would take those ballots back, use boiling water to loosen the glue, pop open the envelope, pull out the real ballot, replace with a fraudulent ballot, and reseal the envelope. Each ballot took less than 5 minutes to change. He said mail carriers also were in it. You have a postman who is a rabid anti-Trump guy, and he's working in Bedminster or some Republican stronghold. He can take those filled-out ballots, and knowingly 95% are going to be Republican. He can just throw those in the garbage, he explained. Even the local board of election officials, offices rather, are rigged. While both parties argue over which ballot should be thrown out because of irregularities, the fraudsters team has an upper hand. If they saw a bent corner on an envelope, they would let the ballot go through knowing it was done by the operative and his team. It doesn't stay bent, but you can tell it's been bent. Until the certificate is approved, the ballot doesn't matter. They don't get to see the ballot unless they support the certificate, he explained. I invented bending corners. Troubling information indeed. Also, Bronson Stocking writing for townhall.com saying, according to the New York Times, potentially 90% of those who have tested positive for COVID-19 have such insignificant amounts of the virus present in their bodies that such individuals do not need to isolate, nor are their candidates for contact tracing. Leading public health experts are now concerned that over-testing is responsible for misdiagnosing a huge number of people with harmless amounts of the virus in their system. Folks, you catch that? Some 90% of those who have tested positive have such insignificant amounts of the virus present in their body that they're now saying they don't need to isolate, nor are they candidates for contact tracing. Most of these individuals are not likely to be contagious, and identifying them may contribute to bottlenecks that prevent those who are contagious from being found in time, warns the New York Times. Western Journal, a new report from the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows that in 94% of the cases of those who died from COVID-19, another disease was also at work on the victim. For 6% of the deaths, COVID-19 was the only cause mentioned. The CDC stated this in its report. Just 6% of the deaths are completely due to COVID. Also, Bronson Stocking for townhall.com says out of the 161,392 deaths in the CDC data, just 6%, about 9,700 deaths, were attributed to coronavirus alone. According to the CDC, the other 94% had an average of 2.6 additional conditions, causes of death such as heart disease, diabetes, and sepsis. As of August 31st, the United States is estimated to have 6.2 million cases of COVID-19 with more than 187,000 deaths, 3.4 million recoveries. But doubt and debate have demanded those numbers all year. In May, the Washington Post reported that Dr. Deborah Birx, response coordinator for the White House Coronavirus Task Force, privately admitted there is nothing from the CDC that I can trust. Birx reportedly suspected that deaths might be inflated by as much as 25%. Also interesting from LifeNews.com, Congressman Roger Marshall, he's a medical doctor, he's a licensed physician, but he was censored for discussing CDC information about COVID-19. A Facebook post published on Sunday afternoon by Congressman Roger Marshall, again, he's a medical doctor, he was discussing an updated COVID-19 death rate released by the CDC, but it was removed Monday night by Facebook without notice or explanation. KNSS reported September 1st that Marshall explained later on Facebook that his earlier post had discussed the new data published by the CDC showing that only 6% of deaths were due solely to COVID-19, while the remaining 94% of deaths had two or more underlying health conditions. Marshall later declared that social media companies should not be allowed to censor science that they disagree with, declaring such behavior to be nothing less than corporate censorship, pure and simple. See, Facebook didn't like what the CDC had to say on that issue. Also, WND.com, the CDC ends its 14-day quarantine recommendation for returning travelers. They are now urging travelers to make their decisions on a state-by-state basis, but state, local, and territorial governments may have travel restrictions in place, including testing requirements, stay-at-home orders, quarantine requirements upon arrival. Further, state, local, and territorial travel restrictions, CDC said on its website, these travelers should take extra precautions to protect others for 14 days after they arrive. The agency said, noting that those who have been in high-risk situations should act accordingly. Higher-risk activities include being in an area experiencing high levels of spread, attending a mass gathering, being in crowded places, travel on a cruise ship or riverboat, the CDC said. But they have ended their 14-day quarantine recommendation for returning travelers. The World Health Organization, the leader, this is Tedros Ghebreyesus. Downplayed the role of a vaccine in ending the coronavirus pandemic and instead called for a focus on climate change. A vaccine may not end the problem, according to Tedros. A vaccine will be a vital tool, and we hope that we'll have one as soon as possible, but there's no guarantee that we will, and even if we do have a vaccine, it won't end the pandemic on its own. Remember that quote when they tried to do forced vaccinations, saying this is needed. He then called for societal changes beyond lockdowns. At the same time, we cannot go back to the way things were, he said. In particular, the pandemic has given new impetus to the need to accelerate efforts to respond to climate change. Building back better means building back greener. The College Fix reports that a Syracuse University chemistry professor, John Subita, has been put on administrative leave and faces an investigation by the Office of Equal Opportunities Inclusion Resolution Services. What did he do? He used the term Wuhan flu and Chinese Communist Party virus in his syllabus. In a joint statement from the Dean of the College of Arts and Sciences, Karen Rulant and Interim Vice Chancellor and Provost John Liu, the two denounced the professor, calling his use of derogatory language a violation of the university's commitment to inclusion. Yep, he called it the Wuhan flu and the Chinese Communist Party virus. Kamala Harris asserted that one of the first actions she and Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden would take if elected would be a national mandate to wear masks, reports the Daily Wire. On August 13th, Biden called for an immediate national mask mandate, saying, "I hope we learned a lesson. Hope the president has learned the lesson. Be a patriot. Protect your fellow citizens. Step up," he continued. "Do the right thing." That is one of the first things that he plans to do, is to initiate a nationwide border-to-border mask mandate. Western Journal reporting, rules for the three but not for me. That seems to be the theme of some of the Democratic leaders in a time of coronavirus. This time it's the Philadelphia mayor, Jim Kenney, spotted eating out indoors at Maryland restaurant over the weekend, as reported by the Philadelphia Inquirer, even though he still forbids indoor dining in his own city. A Philadelphia restaurateur and vocal critic of Kennedy's indoor dining ban shared a photo of Kennedy dining indoors at the Chesapeake Inn restaurant and marina in Chesapeake City, Maryland. He said, "Hi, Philly Mayor, glad you're enjoying indoor dining with no social distancing or mask wearing in Maryland tonight." Interesting indeed. Also, yes, Nancy Pelosi. House Speaker Pelosi visited a San Francisco hair salon Monday afternoon for a wash and blowout, despite local ordinances keeping salons closed amid the coronavirus pandemic. In security footage, Fox News reports, and timestamped Monday at 3:08 p.m. Pacific time, Pelosi is seen walking through East Salon in San Francisco with wet hair without a mask over her mouth or her nose. The salon owner, in a phone interview with Fox News, shared details of Pelosi's visit, explaining she has independent stylists working for her who rent chairs in the salon. "One of the stylists who rents a chair for me contacted me Sunday night," she said. "I'll be there at 2:45 tomorrow. Pelosi's assistant just messaged me to do her hair. It was a slap in the face that she went in, you know, that she feels that she can just go and get her stuff done while no one else can go in and I can't work," the salon owner said. She said she can't believe the speaker didn't have a mask on, and that's from the footage. It appears Pelosi had some kind of a covering around her neck, but it was not over her mouth and face. And Pelosi received a wash and blow dry, but Fox News learned that you're not supposed to blow dry hair according to coronavirus safety precautions for hair salons. "I've been fighting for 6 months for a business that took me 12 years to build to reopen. I'm a single mom. I have two children. I have no income." She told Fox News she's a recipient of a Paycheck Protection Program loan. Still was forced to shut down her salon for good within the next 30 to 60 days. "No one can last anymore," she said. "I've lost almost 60% of my clientele because everyone is fleeing the city." And then we have Nancy Pelosi. This is Daily Wire. On Tuesday, released a statement via her deputy chief of staff confessing to breaking the city lockdown to get her hair done in San Francisco without wearing a mask. But Pelosi, however, not admitting to any wrongdoing. Instead, she is shifting blame to the salon that she visited. Matter of fact, Pelosi, as Fox News picked up, salons have been closed, but Pelosi said she's been to that salon over the years many times. "I take responsibility for trusting the word of the neighborhood salon that I have been to many times when they said they could accommodate people one at a time and we could set up that time. I trusted that," she added, "and it turns out it was a setup, so I take responsibility for falling to a setup." And then she said, "The salon owes me an apology for setting me up." Well, this has outraged the salon owner now, as Western Journal points out, that the salon owner has denied the allegations of a setup, said she called the stylist or her assistant had made the appointment as well. And it's very interesting to see that come out. There's a word from the president's press secretary on this matter. We'll share that after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now we know there are volcanoes here on Earth, but are they found anywhere else in the solar system?
Chris, we find evidence of volcanism on all the rocky planets and many of the moons. Our own moon gives evidence of much volcanism in times past. Recent studies of Mars show that huge volcanoes were there as well. On the moons of the gaseous planets, some may even still be active. It appears to me that much of this volcanism is associated with meteorite impact. I wouldn't be surprised that at the time of the flood, the whole solar system got bombarded by meteorites. Remember the big picture of creation thinking. A very good creation, perfect in every sense, ruined by the introduction of sin and the curse on all of creation, and then restructured by the flood of Noah's day. Often God used natural causes to bring about his supernatural intent. And that's the way I see it, from a back to Genesis perspective.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
It's a News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk, and the story was very interesting because we've been hearing so much from Nancy Pelosi about mask wearing and this whole issue, and here it was now, she being in a salon, and it's seen on the security video within the salon, no mask around her face as she's going from room to room. And in this closed salon, nobody else is able to go in there and get their hair done. Matter of fact, I believe it was Tuesday that salons could restart business, but it had to be outdoors as well. Of course, this was not. And we have Kayleigh McEnany, the White House press secretary, who spoke to this issue just the other day.
Good afternoon, everyone. Two briefings ago, I asked, where is Nancy Pelosi? Today, I can announce we have found Nancy Pelosi. As you can see, we found Nancy Pelosi going into her hair salon. We will be playing the video on loop for all of you to see during the duration of this introduction. Nancy Pelosi was not in the halls of Congress when I asked where she was. She was not working in good faith to make a deal for the American people. Nope, Nancy Pelosi was found in San Francisco at a hair salon where she was indoors, even though salons in California are not only open for outdoor service. Apparently, the rules do not apply to Speaker Nancy Pelosi. She wants small businesses to stay shut down, but only reopen for her convenience. Do as I say, not as I do, says Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi is holding up $1.3 trillion in relief for the American people while getting special access to the very kind of small businesses that this money would support, businesses like this hair salon. Before she skipped town to violate her state's health guidelines, Pelosi proposed a bill. It was called the HEROES Act, which contained no additional paycheck protection funding. This is funding that would help the very small business she has bizarrely accused of plotting against her.
Well, folks, what's interesting is there's a group of women now who have described themselves as being angry salon customers. They held a peaceful protest at the house of Nancy Pelosi's home in San Francisco yesterday, stringing up curlers and blow dryers on a tree. Here we go to the College Fix. College students were shipped home in March and April with coronavirus, and they're now saying probably help spread the disease faster and further. ABC World News Tonight reported Sunday that White House Coronavirus Task Force Coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx is now advising college students not to return home if they test positive for COVID. Please isolate at your college, Birx said. Do not return home if you're positive and spread the virus to your family, your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents. From KPTV.com, Governor Brown of Oregon has extended the COVID-19 state of emergency until November 3rd. Let's see, what day is it? Election Day. Governor Brown of Oregon extended this another 60 days. The governor's office announced Tuesday this is the second time for an extension taking place for this state of emergency, I should say, for the state of Oregon. LifeSiteNews.com reporting hundreds of freedom lovers came together at Virginia's capital of Richmond earlier this week to protest the mandate imposed by the government in the wake of a coronavirus crisis, specifically regarding a mandated vaccine. Virginia Health Commissioner Dr. Norman Oliver, an unelected official, first said in August that he plans to mandate coronavirus vaccinations for Virginians once one is made available to the public. Kathleen Metteries at the Virginia Freedom Keepers that organized the March Against Mandate said that Oliver has the power to force Virginians to take the vaccine. The law currently does not provide exemptions for those who do not want it. That's mandated by state government and does not even allow for a delay in getting the shot. Folks, this thing is so bizarre, what is going on with coronavirus. I'm going to take you to Alaska. There is police that are arresting a pregnant woman at home because of a Corona Facebook post. Now, she's in handcuffs. They handcuff her in front of her children, and they charged her for incitement. What did she do? She put out on her Facebook post an invitation to an anti-lockdown protest. Let's listen in as she had cell phone footage going on at the time.
Yeah, you can show me your search warrant before you go through my house.
You're the occupier?
Yeah, I own this house.
There it is. Search warrant.
Search warrant for what?
Now, what I will explain to you is if you want to listen, you got your phone going?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Right. Now, you're under arrest in relation to incitement.
Incitement?
Yeah. What's that? Now, you're not obliged to say or do anything, but anything you say or do may be given evidence.
Excuse me, incitement for what? What on earth? Excuse me, what on earth?
Just put your phone down.
Can you, like, record this? I'm in my pajamas.
What's this?
I've had an ultrasound in an hour.
Yeah, she's pregnant, so...
Well, I'll take it easy.
What's this about?
If I have an ultrasound
just let me finish.
In an hour.
Let me finish and I'll explain. It's in relation to a Facebook post, in relation to a lockdown protest you put on for Saturday.
Yeah, and I wasn't breaking any laws by doing
you
that.
You are, actually. You are breaking all. That's why I'm arresting you, in relation to this.
How can you arrest
children.
Her? That's...
In front of my two children.
Can't you just say to her to take the post down? Like, come on.
I'm happy to delete the post. This is ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
But I have to give you these caution and rights. Do you understand?
Yeah, that's fine. Like, I'm happy to delete the post. This is ridiculous. Like, I just say do.
Maybe
fine.
Giving evidence. You understand that?
Yeah, that's fine. But my two kids are here. I have an ultrasound in an hour. I'm happy to delete the post.
You also have the right to communicate with or to communicate with a legal practitioner. Do you understand those rights?
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, this is a bit unfair. Come on, mate.
No,
what about she just doesn't do the event? Like, it's not like she's done it.
Well,
she made a post.
She already committed the offence. So I'm not going to...
So that's an offence.
Now, a search warrant entitles us and we're required to seize any computers, any mobile devices you have.
What on earth?
Yeah, can I just get your badge there, mate?
Yeah, you know, this is amazing, folks. So we're going to stop there with this clip. But here she is, 28 years old, handcuffed in front of her children. And you have authorities coming in to arrest her for incitement. Incitement because she dared put out a post for an invitation to an anti-lockdown protest. And they said, hey, we'll take down the post. She had an ultrasound coming up in 1 hour. We'll take it down. They said, you've already committed the offense. They were there to confiscate her computers. LifeSiteNews.com, New York refuses to release data on COVID nursing home deaths until after the election. How convenient. Governor Andrew Cuomo, under fire for his handling of the crisis, just had not much to think about this request. It's all political. As of September 2nd, the U.S. is estimated to have more than 6.2 million COVID-19 cases. And we know that for months, the pro-abortion Cuomo had been under fire for ordering that nursing homes cannot turn away patients diagnosed with COVID-19, despite the fact that the virus is most dangerous to the elderly. But New York is refusing to release the data on the COVID-19 deaths until after the election. WND.com, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden Monday got tangled in yet another verbal stumble as he tried to criticize President Trump's handling of the coronavirus pandemic. Here's the clip.
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. When you think about it, more lives this year than any other year for the past 100 years.
Now, isn't that interesting? The coronavirus, it's a novel coronavirus. That means it's brand new. But he said it's taken more lives this year than the last 100 years combined. Okay, Liberty Council. After the Santa Clara County Public Health Office posted a cease and desist letter at North Valley Baptist Church's doors Friday, August 21st, the government has now fined the church, as of September 1st, $52,750. The charges include $5,000 per in-person service and additional violations for non-social distancing, although it is practiced in the auditorium that seats 3,000 people, and singing. Liberty Council founder and chairman Matt Staver said as a result of Governor Newsom's unconstitutional orders, North Valley Baptist Church is now incurring horrendous fees for simply exercising its First Amendment right to worship. This is wrong, and the governor's unconstitutional hostility and discrimination against religious worship must end. Also from Beth Ballman at townhall.com, LA's Grace Community Church, Pastor John MacArthur have come under fire for deciding to hold in-person services, despite Governor Newsom's Wuhan coronavirus declaration that bans church assemblies. Well, the church held firm in its position and even challenged the city in court, and a judge ruled in Grace Community Church's favor, saying they were deemed an essential service. The order allowed them to remain open and hold indoor services inside the church until a full hearing takes place September 4th. That's today. Don't know what's happening there at this time. The County of Los Angeles decided, though, to circumvent the order. The county's Public Works Department issued a 30-day termination notice to the church for a lease agreement for a large portion of the parking lot, which has been in place continuously since 1975. The church has been ordered to evacuate the property, that is the parking lot, on by October 1st. Okay, let's go on to another issue. This is from ChristianNews.net. An interview posted to social media. Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors, along with Black Lives Matter Los Angeles co-founder Malina Abdullah, discussed the spiritual component of the movement, explaining the practices and rituals performed to remember and invoke the spirits of deceased African Americans. We speak their names, and you kind of invoke that spirit, and then that the spirits actually become present with you. Now, folks, this is the founders of Black Lives Matter. This is not about skin color. There is an agenda behind this, and now they're talking about invoking spirits. Abdullah, professor at California State University, stated during the discussion hosted by a Fuller University at UCLA, "In my tradition, you offer things that your loved one who passed away would want, whether it's honey or tobacco or things like that," referring to the creation of an ancestor altar. The site Crescent City Culture advises at its core, hoodoo is a practice of ancestral veneration. Western Journal reporting a Black Lives Matter organizer arrested in Johnson County, Iowa, Tuesday. University of Iowa police arrested the organizer, Matthew Bruce, and charged him with 9 felony counts of assault with intent to injure a peace officer and 1 count of interfering with official acts. The assault occurred during a demonstration outside the university president's residence. According to the criminal complaint, Bruce pointed a laser beam light into the eyes of multiple police officers during the demonstration. Several officers needed medical treatment following the incident. This was the 4th time in recent months that Bruce has been arrested, according to the Iowa City Press Citizen. Okay, Western Journal in a statement Sunday. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden admitted publicly that the riots that have ravaged the country's big cities for 3 months, well, they're not so great for the Republic after all. Saying, "I want to be very clear about all of this. Rioting is not protesting. Looting is not protesting. Setting fires is not protesting. None of this is protesting," he said. "It's lawlessness, plain and simple, and those who do it should be prosecuted. Violence will not bring change, will only bring destruction. It's wrong in every way." Very interesting indeed in that his running mate, Kamala Harris, published a Twitter post raising money. This was back on June 1st, raising money to free those who've been arrested for rioting in Minneapolis. But all of a sudden, he's waking up. And as the commentators are pointing out on CNN, that the continued riots are now costing votes and turning people away from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party. Meanwhile, you also have Democrats creating a violent mob in Portland, and now they're trying to blame it on President Trump. The city has entered its 4th month of sustained violence. The ink wasn't dry on Mayor Ted Wheeler's letter to the president rudely denying Trump's offer to end the bloodshed in Portland. "On behalf of the city of Portland, no thanks," he quipped in response to another offer by the president to end the violence. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Imagine if you could change society's stance on abortion.
How do you feel about the issue of abortion?
I think in some situations, it can be necessary.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
Would you ever vote for someone who is for the killing of children in the womb?
No.
I believe in someone's right to choose.
So you're going to change your stance on it?
Yeah, it's definitely making me think, yeah.
What was the compelling question to change people's minds on abortion? From Ray Comfort comes the DVD 180. featuring street interviews in which people who were pro-abortion changed 180 degrees to pro-life.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
180 is available for a donation to VCY of just $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for the DVD 180.
Got a number more stories I'd like to share with you on a news roundup today. Lord willing, we'll have some time a little bit later for opening up some phone lines. Be forming your comments, make them concise and right to the point. Let's see, WND.com, a man participating in a pro-Trump car caravan, Portland, Oregon, Saturday night, shot to death during a clash with political leftists. The victim, Aaron J. Danielson. The shooting in the chest took place Saturday night, witnessed live while some were watching video feeds. Truly a cold-blooded murder taking place right before the eyes of America. Daily Wire reporting Minneapolis business owners who want to install security shutters on the outside of their buildings to bar looters from entrance and protect the windows of their stores, they cannot do so because the city of Minneapolis has banned security shutters on building exteriors since 2004. Chapter 535 of the Minneapolis Zoning Code states exterior security barriers, no retractable metal security gates or grills shall be placed on the exterior of any portion of an enclosed principal non-residential building facade facing a public street. Nearly 1,500 businesses heavily damaged in the riots. Many were completely destroyed, forcing owners to clear the site before rebuilding. Owners and insurance experts estimate the cost of the damage could exceed $500 million. That would make the Twin City riots the second costliest civil disturbance in U.S. history. That's only behind the Los Angeles riots of 1992 and Minneapolis, saying business owners, you cannot put up security shutters to protect your business. Folks, the NBA ratings, they are cratering, reports the Daily Wire. And significantly, as the professional sports league becomes increasingly woke, they have gone political with their shirts and their jerseys and the sayings that they're putting on them. And people across America evidently are just fed up, don't want to see it. As part of the social justice initiative, NBA players have been allowed to display a social justice word or phrase selected from an approved list on their jerseys, like anti-racist or ally, say her name, I can't breathe, Black Lives Matter, and others as well. The lockdown costing the NBA some $1 billion. And now we got the NFL also getting involved with this, as they're going to be having things painted at their end zones during the first game, and also having the Black National Anthem prior to the Star Spangled Banner as they open up the season as well. Coming to us from WND.com in a shocking video posted on TikTok, a barista shows how to mix up a poisonous drink for law enforcement officers. Its main ingredient, they say, is bleach. Troubling indeed, a Starbucks barista, the headline states. Also appalling, airline bans U.S. flag on face mask, but it's apparently fine with Black Lives Matter, reports WND.com. Clearly a decision made by one of your gate agents based on their own politics. U.S. Representative Doug Collins, Georgia, is demanding that Frontier Airlines officials explain why a gate agent banned an air marshal from wearing an American flag-themed mask on a flight. The agent at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport in Atlanta claimed other passengers would find his mask offensive, according to Collins. The marshal put on the mask given to him by Frontier, but was still prohibited from boarding because he put his American flag mask on top of the one provided to him by Frontier. Daily Signal reporting that some of America's largest corporations pledged, donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to the main Black Lives Matter organization founded by trained Marxists that calls for replacing the nuclear family with a village. Prominent brands giving money include Amazon, Microsoft, Nabisco, Gatorade, Airbnb, and the Atlantic and Warner record labels. Other corporations named were DoorDash, Deckers, Glacier, 23andMe, Unilever, Bungie, Dropbox, Fitbit, Devolver Digital, Skillshare, Square Enix, and others as well. That game company, Tinder. Let's see. This is interesting. Out of the state of Minnesota, as Pamela Geller reports, and also picked up by Breitbart, six Democratic Minnesota mayors have endorsed President Donald Trump over former Vice President Joe Biden, asserting that Trump has improved the lives of Minnesotans while Biden has moved too far to the left. The Minnesota Democrat mayors wrote, like many in our region, we have voted for Democrats for the many decades. We have watched as our constituents' jobs left not only the Iron Range, but our country. Today, we don't recognize the Democratic Party. It's been moved so far to the left, it can no longer claim to be advocates of the working class. In contrast, Trump-Pence administration has cut taxes and pursued other policies like have been brought to the Iron Range, brought it back, roaring back to life. This coming to us from Breitbart and Pamela Geller. Also, part of the agenda of the Democratic platform is to make Washington, D.C. the 51st state. Well, keep that in mind. As you know, the story from Fox News and various sources at a committee reporting to Washington, D.C., Mayor Muriel Bowser has come up with a list of all of these monuments, schools, parks, government buildings, and other structures that it's recommending they make changes that have any connection to slavery or racism. That even includes the Washington Monument and the Jefferson Memorial. Among the historical figures named are George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Monroe, Andrew Jackson, William Henry Harrison, John Tyler, Zachary Taylor, Woodrow Wilson. Also some of the founding fathers like Benjamin Franklin and George Mason, Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor, and the composer of the national anthem, Francis Scott Key. It recommends that the federal government remove, relocate, or contextualize several very famous tourist attractions, including the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, and the Benjamin Franklin statue. Well, New York Times reporting many New Yorkers, they are fleeing to the suburbs. Fleeing to the suburbs, not wanting anything to do with New York City. I guess the increase was 112% in Westchester, north of New York City, 73% increase in Fairfield County, Connecticut, just over the state border. At the same time, the number of properties sold in Manhattan plummeted some 56%. Keep California in your prayers. There have been a number of bills that have been sent, passed by the legislature. Folks, it is absolutely insane what is going on in California. They've got a series of bills that they have passed. They have sent them to Governor Newsom, asking him to sign them into law. There are some very wicked bills passed. The bills include SB 145 that exempts sexual predators of children, that is pedophiles, from the public accountability of registry as a sex offender if the offender is no more than 10 years older than the minor. There's also AB 2218 that creates the Transgender Wellness and Equity Fund, will supply puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for minors, as well as cross-sex hormones and sex change operations for adults. There's AB 3121 creating a racist committee to propose sending tax money in the form of reparations to Black Californians, and on the list goes, sitting on the governor's desk at this time. Speaking of money, taxes, etc., Joe Biden was in Kenosha this week. We just shared that yesterday. He said, I'm not going to reveal my tax plan because they'll shoot me. Now, that's not the right term to use when you're in Kenosha after what just transpired there. But let's listen to the clip.
19 corporations making $1 billion apiece don't pay a single penny in taxes. I'm not going to punish anybody, but everyone should pay a fair share. And I can lay out for you. I won't now because they'll shoot me. But here's the deal.
Interesting. He lays out his deal in part at that point, but just basically saying he's not going to share his tax plan. They'll shoot him. Do they not want the American public to know this before the election? He did promise to raise taxes, though. President Donald Trump has released a letter to pro-life Americans saying, "I will fight in the trenches for unborn children." He released this letter to pro-life Americans yesterday, promised to continue fighting against abortion during a second term in office, saying he'd fight in the trenches for unborn children and their mothers. He says, as I seek re-election November, I need your help in contrasting my bold pro-life leadership with Joe Biden's abortion extremism. The Democratic Party, he wrote, unequivocally supports abortion on demand up until the moment of birth and even infanticide, leaving babies to die after failed abortions. Joe Biden's embrace of this extreme position is more evidenced by his support for taxpayer funding of abortion on demand. Forcing taxpayers to pay for abortions is an abhorrent position that must be defeated at the ballot box. He pledges to continue our transformation of the federal judiciary, overcome Democratic filibusters in Congress to finally pass and sign into law legislation banning late-term abortion and taxpayer funding of abortion, and strengthening protections for infants born alive after failed abortions, and to fully defund the big abortion industry, such as Planned Parenthood, with our tax dollars. Friends, let's open the phone lines here today. I know I've taken a lot of time. There is more news I have, but let's keep your comments brief. Keep them concise. Go right to the point. If you want to comment on one of these stories, or there's other news, of course, happening this week across the nation, our number 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. From Alliance Defending Freedom, a Seattle area church filed its opening brief Wednesday with the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, asking for a reversal of a lower court decision that dismissed the church's lawsuit against the state of Washington. The lawsuit challenges a state law forcing churches to cover elective abortions in their health insurance plans. ADF attorneys represent Cedar Park Assembly of God, challenging the constitutionality of the state's mandate requiring the church to cover abortion if it provides its staff members maternity coverage in their group health insurance policy. By the way, black leaders are demanding Planned Parenthood repent of systemic racism within Planned Parenthood. This is a coalition of more than 100 American black pastors calling on Planned Parenthood Federation of America to disavow its racist legacy and end its systemic racism that targets black lives in the womb. Let's go to the phone lines here. We've got Carl calling in from Lake Delton. You're on the air, Carl.
Yeah, my son's friend went for a COVID test, and he was in line, and they closed. So he went home, but his name was on the list. He got a letter in the mail a few days later saying he tested positive for COVID.
Even though he wasn't tested. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Carl. The stories are just endless. I mean, we heard, we had somebody within a public education system within the state of Wisconsin indicate to us that in their district, I don't know how widespread this is, but if one person is testing positive for COVID, they're counting all of the people in the household as having COVID. Isn't that amazing? Let's go to Don in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for bringing up this topic. Black Lives Matter is their mantra. James chapter 3, verse 5b, the last part of the verse says, "Behold," pay attention, "how great a matter," as in Black Lives Matter, "a little fire," there's your arson, "kindleth." Who are they advertising for? The devil or Jesus Christ? I do not identify with the BLM. I do not want that to be a mantra in my head. These people are anti-Americans, love it or leave it. The Afro-Americans are anti-Christian, and they're certainly anti-white people.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Let's go to Robert in Zanesville, Ohio. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. I'm just going to make this really quick before I get back into the office. Seeing all the news and everything, also having, you know, having served our, served in the military and also in law enforcement for a brief time, one of the things that I'd like to see our nation as a whole do is, one, I guess generally speaking, is grow up, because I'm seeing people just losing their minds over things that, in the grand scheme of things, is actually really trivial. We need to, as a nation, be united. I guess I'm old school, so roll it back to like 19, like mid-30s, mid-40s or whatever, where we were a nation. You could say what you wanted, obviously with respect, going back to common sense, common courtesy type thing. We need to embrace that again.
Robert, I'm up against a break. You stay with us. I'll pick you up on the other side. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. There appears to be an economic collapse happening globally. There appears to be geopolitical issues occurring globally that are not good. There is the rattling of sabers with Russia and China. So much that is happening. What is next? Perhaps what we need to be prepared for next is a complete and total collapse of evangelicalism as we know it. Satan's goal is to destroy the church. Thankfully, we know the gates of hell will not prevail. But sadly, recent news stories reveal to us that, once again, not all is as it seems in the evangelical world when it comes to the standards being followed or not followed by evangelical leaders. Don't be shocked in the coming years as more comes out about evangelical leaders. Satan desires for many to turn against the church and then to use those who have failed as a standard to say all Christians are frauds and then bring the persecution. Are you ready for persecution?
I apologize to Robert. I hit a wrong button in the studio and dropped the call rather than putting it on hold. I apologize for that. If we have a line open, feel free to give us a call back. Let's go to Mitchell, South Dakota. And David, you're on the air.
Looks like the choice is pretty clear. It's either make America great or burn it down. That's the options.
Well, thank you for your thoughts. Let's go to Wheeling, West Virginia. Salvatore, you're on the air.
One comment. California is the largest insane asylum on the planet Earth. Goodbye.
Let's go to William in East Troy, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Brother Jim, I was wondering if you heard about Joe Biden mentioning that it wasn't Thomas Edison, but it was some black guy who invented the light bulb.
The light bulb, yeah.
But he never gave a name.
Yeah, I did hear him say that Edison did not invent the light bulb.
Yeah, and I was wondering, he said that for the past 40 or 50 years, like, we haven't been teaching history. So my question is, hasn't it been the democratically run National Education Association that has been running the school? So isn't it his party that have actually not been doing the right thing? I'm just hoping that he would actually give a name. He just threw a, he said some black guy, you know, invented the light bulb, but please give us a name. I'd like to know.
Thank you for your call. William Barry in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to say, here comes the persecution of the church. This persecution has come because the church for decades has failed to preach the uncompromised gospel. And that during this time, there's going to be the separation from the sheep from the goats. And I'll tell you what, I don't believe we're too far off from that, for that time. You know, God never had a date set of the return of his son. The date was, his clock is set towards man and the church. And when you see the failure that we've seen in the churches for decades. I mean, I'm telling you, there's more entertainment centers out there than anything. You can't hardly find too many churches. If you got a church where they're preaching the uncompromised gospel, you have prayer at the altar, you're seeking God with all your heart, you better be thankful for that, and you better thank your pastor for doing it. Because I'll tell you what, I've been across this country, and I can't find too many churches over the years. But I'm telling you, you better get your house, and like he's told, the prophet came in and told the man to get his house in order, because he's going to die and not live. I'll tell you what, we better get our house in order, or else we're going to be left here and go down the vortex with all the rest of the world.
Thank you, Barry, for your thoughts here today. And indeed, judgment begins in the house of the Lord, doesn't it? And we need to have that internal examination taking place first. Folks, the depravity of man just has no end. A very troubling story that came out some days ago from LifeSiteNews.com, where Chinese doctors are now proposing killing unborn twins or triplets with microwaves. This is microwave ablation, normally used to cauterize nerves or destroy cancer. But in this proposal, they plan to their research says they plan to burn unborn children alive. A group of Chinese doctors published this proposal for killing unwanted unborn twins or triplets by microwaving them. They said that this complicated monochorionic twin pregnancies, I believe that's placenta sharing twins, are associated with illness and death. Some are so severe that their babies might be killed, so, and the other might live. But they're talking about using microwaves in order to kill them. Let's go to Jim calling in from Wisconsin. Jim, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I was trying to find that information that you were sharing right off of the beginning of your program regarding voter fraud, and I was trying to find the man's name in that article.
Well, they did not give. This is a New York Post, and okay. Because of the, let's see, it is a top Democratic operative, And so the source was staying anonymous with the Post as they printed it, probably due to the things he was involved in. But it's New York Post story, August 29.
August 29th, okay. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. Let's see, let's go to David in Erie, Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just very quickly, I just wanted to share something that happened. It's 1 degree away from me. It's a good friend of mine. Last week, small town that we live in, Pennsylvania, south of Erie, had a peaceful protest scheduled for the next day. It was against racism. It was not officially a Black Lives Matter protest, but small, sleepy little college town. And about midnight, the night before, he woke up. Noises outside went out. There were two men, dark clothing, wearing face masks, bandanas up around their mouths, and had backpacks on. And he came out with a firearm and his dog. And told them to move on, and they said, hands up in the air. They said they were just waiting for friends to pick him up, and he said, well, don't do it on my property. This is in the country. Hmm. And he said, so he went and checked his property about 30 minutes later. So this had been about 1 in the morning. He promises me this really happened, that a school bus full of young people rolled down his country lane past his house headed towards town. Hmm. And we racked our brains trying to figure out, you know, high school athletics were canceled. Certainly not a tour bus, 1 in the morning. So I'll leave it at that. But, again, we had a protest the next day, 50 or 60 so, and we had a real strong turnout of anti-protesters flying their flags and, you know, representing. But that being said, I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you, David. Alice in Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I wanted to clarify people talking about who invented the light bulb. Thomas Edison didn't technically invent the light bulb. He only modified the light bulb. So he's the one that did the testing and made it useful. So I don't know if they even name who invented the first light bulb. So I'm hoping that helps people understand. It gets a little confusing about it.
Thank you, Alice. Appreciate your call here today. Let me just share last, we've got about a minute left here. Interesting email we got yesterday afternoon from the Department of Homeland Security. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement announced the results of enforcement actions by ERO, that's the Enforcement Removal Operation. Officers throughout Arizona in recent enforcement actions targeting removable aliens who've been arrested for or been pending charges for convictions. Data captured from July 13th to August 20th showed that officers arrested more than 60 at-large individuals living illegally in the U.S. who are removable from the U.S. due to their criminal convictions. Of the 67 arrested, 54 aliens had criminal convictions. They report and pending charges for crimes against victims. We won't go into all those crimes. But in addition, the Border Patrol bust 4 illegals with cargo that could have killed 500,000 Americans. 1,300 pounds of cocaine seized by the Border Patrol off the coast of Puerto Rico on Thursday. Customs and border officials announced that was last week Thursday. And also another Operation Legend. Some 2,000 arrests seized 182 pounds of drugs in 5 weeks, reports the Department of Justice. You think we're living in troubling times? Indeed we are. But friends, don't lose heart. May that serve as motivation for us to share the gospel, because these stories today are evident that people need to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.